from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's Mike Shope.
It's nothing you did.
It's not you, it's me.
It's not you, it's you, but you didn't cross me.
And the Bulldog.
Why did I chew? Why did I just stay in school?
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
What's up, everybody? Sabres, everybody's favorite topic. It's this annual ritual where... the draft, sometimes, not always, the hockey draft is the hockey draft, you know, it's just guys that maybe you'll hear back from in a few years. You know, usually the Sabres' life has been drafting at the top a lot, so it's, and even Benson, so it's not quite like that, but just a lot of, okay, we'll see in the hockey draft. Football draft gives you, I cannot believe they drafted a linebacker, you know, dot, dot, dot. So really it's July 1, this ritual of the beginning of summer. The week of the 4th, even for Canadian fans, with Canada Day yesterday, and that couple, the weekend, you know, summer weekend, the beginning of summer, coupled with the relative misery of analyzing July 1st. July 1st with the Sabres is when you get the loudest chorus of the worst things imaginable from the fan base about the team. You know, they're never watching a game again. Just everybody needs to be fired, on and on and on and on. It's, you know, sometimes maybe right, but it's just the most repetitive, depressing, why are we even talking when it comes to this? That's July 1. When it comes to the Sabres and July 1st, it's both, everything is terrible. Why can't we be like the other teams? Etc. And you know what? Maybe we should go outside. Maybe we should just sort of take a break from sports. You know, do we have to do this? Do we have to talk like this? Do we have to ruin, some would say, the 1st of July, the first week of July with this? Checking back on the 2nd to see if there was a trade, and the 3rd, and maybe even the 4th. Every year we kind of do the same thing, and it doesn't seem great. What I'm trying to figure out on the day after free agency opened, and I welcome your comments on what I have to say or just sort of where you're already at on the Sabres. I'm not sure how many calls we took yesterday, maybe a couple. But what I'm wondering is, with what they are right now, I know we had Kevin Adams yesterday say mid-afternoon, 4:30 or so, that he thinks the roster is much better, you know, speaking with a general sense of finality about it. Never going to say something couldn't come up. You know, he, of course, says that something could. But he's talking, he literally said that the roster is much better, feels much better about it. And I'm just wondering, you know, because he is somebody, as I've said many times, that I tend to believe when he's talking, and not everybody is like that. I think he could mean that, and I guess I want to hope he does if he's going to say it. I wonder how likely it is that they are ready to go to, well, Prague with the players they have, with the team they have, that they think that it's enough to, well, I mean, their goal is, again, this year, making the playoffs. That's not most teams' goals. Maybe it would be Utah's goal. Most teams' goals isn't to make the playoffs, but, you know, a team like Chicago, as bad as they've been, or the Sharks, teams like that might not even have that goal. Like, they're so far away. So it's not a lot of teams that would have that as their goal, but this would be the Sabres. Does Kevin Adams think what he's got right now is there? Like, is he home with this? And the one area where I think most people would say there's no chance that could be true is that top six forward position that we were all hoping, pretty much to varying degrees, they were going to trade for over the weekend, if not sign yesterday, but that seemed less likely. You know, they were going to sign Stevenson or one of these guys, you know, and mostly I think that's fine. But is there, what are the odds that Adams is really expecting to be able to do one more thing? A lot of people are very down on him. I mean, it's been 4 years and no playoffs, and that's going to happen, right? I mean, he started here as somebody that I think most of the fan base didn't really consider qualified for the job, you know, just based on his credentials, based on his experience. He worked at Harbor Center. You know, he's been a coach, he'd been a player, these other things, but had not been like an assistant GM or something. So I think he started off doubted. And now it's 4 years later. I think he did well. I think most fans would say he did well enough in churning over Eichel, Reinhardt to now, although those guys have won cups and the Sabres are still kind of nowhere. I don't know. The point isn't a referendum on him, although, of course, you're welcome to tell me what you think about it. It's just like, this is, what is this to say, an important year for him? It's the fifth year for a GM who hasn't been to the playoffs yet. You know, it had better be an important year for him. I would like to think he would think that himself. So how likely is it that the Sabres really are, that Kevin Adams really is pretty much fine with where he's at? I guess really maybe this question comes down to what your confidence in him ends up being. And if it's low, maybe you're going to think that, of course, he's fine with it. He talked about how good the roster was. And, you know, he's talked so much about the culture stuff and changing the way they play and these things. I was thinking this morning that I mean, July 1st is always, it's challenging for me because I never want to be just like, oh, they all suck, you know, like your friends talk, or maybe that's how you feel. I just never want to be like that on the air. I want to, they signed these guys yesterday. I think I want to give them some respect, you know, Zucker and the other, you know, lesser known players. I want to give them all a chance. I want to give them all some respect. I don't want to just sit here publicly and just blast away. So that's kind of, like I said already, this is kind of what July 1st is every year with them, though, because you see other teams, you know, fireworks are happening and bigger moves, and the Sabres either just are not in the room for some of these players, or they just don't end up being competitive for the top free agents usually. So anyway, what are the odds that he's all set? I'm thinking that, well, what do you want to think? You want to think that there is one more thing he could do. But if you take a look at their lineup right now, and this is going to be maybe where I show, I've already said it, but I show myself to be a little bit more just like, I kind of want to just give it a chance a little bit. Like, you've got Thompson and Tuck and Paterka. If that's your first line, there's nothing I want to do about that. I mean, I'm pretty good. If you end up making this huge move, which is not likely, you know, something that would affect that, I don't know, like, I'm not going to spend too much time pondering that because I feel like they're all right here. The second line is the key, but Cousins healthy, or rather Quinn healthy with Cousins. And then who is my next forward there? I talked to Chad DeDominicis yesterday. What would it mean to you if Kulik or one of your Rochester guys were who they just sort of intended, predicted internally would be that player? And he mostly said, I don't think that's great. You know, like, just too far. Paul said yesterday he's not ready for the NHL as of how he looked in the playoffs. So, you know, I'm getting a little bit, you know, I'm not really thinking that, but if you were, it's a little much to put one of the kids, if you will, in that spot. You've got Zucker. I mean, the problem here in terms of the optics is that you bought out Jeff Skinner, and that came at a price. I mean, you're saving money on the cap this year that you really haven't, well, you haven't spent all of it, but, you know, Zucker is $5 million. Why not just keep him? If this, that's really maybe an interesting peek into where they might be at internally. You know, we all kind of thought there could be a move and then there wasn't, and it feels more just sort of like typical Sabres. But are they really going to take the step to buy out Skinner and replace him with Jason Zucker or Kulik or just what? That gives me hope, actually. It's July 2nd, and maybe, I mean, it's already mostly over, you know, all of this. But that kind of gives me hope. I want to give them, no offense to Zucker, but I want to give the Sabres more credit than just to simply say, well, you know, they're clueless about this, and they're either going to think he can fill Skinner's position, you know, comparatively, or one of the Rochester guys. Like, that is not a serious plan. I think I would say that would not be a serious plan. You know, this team, relative term, okay, and it's not a nice way to put this, but this team begs for seriousness. All right, when are you going to look like a team that is serious about winning? And where I would draw that line, and I think where a lot of fans are drawing that line right now, is right there at that spot in the lineup. And this, you know, we're just always talking about like this one thing that we're waiting on from them that could, I think, like I said a lot yesterday, could tip it. You know, third line, fourth line, you dressed up, you addressed that, and I think, you know, that's adequate. Where the Sabres went yesterday is probably adequate. Pointed, calculated decisions, players in Lafferty, in Malenstein as well, Obey Kubel, like they went for a certain type and revamped most of the bottom half of their forwards. Okay. It's just that it's that one. I wonder just what Adams is thinking and whether or not he feels like he has his team right now. What do you think? 803-0550. Thinking about, I started to say this and then I got some, ended up somewhere else. Thinking about yesterday, you know, as well with the sort of the vibes and the annual sort of feeling of kind of somewhere between frustration and despair that many Sabres fans feel on July 1st, it's really the problem I have or had is it's the history and the reputation, all of it put together that brings on this one day that you kind of dread. And because there isn't this trade everybody wants, or something like a Stamkos out of the thin air, or something really big that would turn heads all around the league, you just sort of fall back to this is life here. You know, this is how it is. What, you know, their seriousness. This day yesterday and not trading their first round pick really doesn't to me cry out for like a lack, expose a lack of seriousness by itself. You know, I mean, I think this is what their roster needed. And you want to keep your first round pick, then that's what everybody else did, pretty much, that, you know, went into the first round with their pick. Nobody else was trading that. That's kind of normal. It's not the last 4 days that bring out for me this idea that are they really a serious team? It's last year. That's what I realized today. It's also the last 50, but it's last year. It's that they did what they did last year, bringing back Oposo, bringing back Gergensen, bringing back Yost, Eric Johnson, Connor Clifton, not trading for a goalie at all, which was lower on my list, and Lukanen really did work out. But that's the kind of thing where, you know, a more, dare I say it, again, this is the same word, serious team would give themselves that one more option. And you know what, Devin Levi, you're a kid and we'll get to you, but we don't need to lean into you right now necessarily. Like that's just not starting your season with a player that had barely played any professional hockey at all on a team on that playoff drought with the money they have invested in their top players, you know, was not, that was very dubious to maybe be nice about it. And it didn't work. And it took too long for them to get to Lukanen. By the time they get to Lukanen and he starts to roll, you've got Oposo talking in Florida about how he kind of knew, the feeling in the room was that they kind of knew they didn't have it. So by then, however you want to slice it, how they did the offseason, how they started the season, well into the season without any changes, that is what makes people, or this is, I'll just speak for myself, that is what gets me into, all right, this is just not, I can't do this. You know, if your team is struggling like they were right away, and since they've been talking about it, like they all knew that, and what changed? Nothing. Like they did not make trades. They eventually got to Mittelstadt, that move, but really, A, it wasn't like he was struggling, and B, that was closer to the deadline when they were faced with the question of whether they were going to pay him, and they decided that they weren't, which I agreed with. And they turned him into a defenseman, which, you know, I think is fine. But that's not trying to save your season when you missed the prior season by 1 point to the team that won the conference. That's really what it's about with the Sabres. It's not at every turn. This is me talking. It's not at every turn that they just do the wrong thing or stop short financially or just whatever criticisms come up at times that appear valid. It's not at every base do they stop short. But when you had what they were on the way up going into last year and the offseason was so flat, not willing to make one bigger move there, settling for your fourth line because, you know, they're like mashed potatoes and a comfortable blanket, that's how you get beat. And not only get beat, but people lose faith. And that's what last year was. It's not yesterday. If I'm coming off of, well, I think I still want the one trade, but if I'm coming off of whatever they had, 91 points or 90, whatever the number was 2 years ago, and if they had done this, what they did yesterday, last year, not fire Granato necessarily, that would have been very weird, but be ready to move on him if you're not getting results, if you're not growing, and they just weren't. And it sounds like we all kind of thought eventually that was the move, and it took them too long to do that. No real point. I'm not trying to like rehash last year, but I'm trying to sort of analyze this feeling of give up. And just frustration is really the word for it that a lot of the fan base have. This might not be you. If it is or if it isn't, I'd love to hear from you. 803-0550. I mean, fans are all talking about just where they're going, Lindy Ruff back, what did and didn't happen over the last few days. Feel free to represent the fan base in your own opinion, because I don't want to sound like I'm speaking for everybody, because I'm certainly not meaning to do that. I know from friends and just from paying attention that fans are not in a great place with the lack of something more credible, more serious from them in the last week. But that's not everybody. They do. Who knows? This is what like Sabres life would bring about is last year, you know, you didn't have the goalie, the easy play in net. You tried with Levi, he broke, and then it's Luukkonen, and eventually he does really well. So now I think nobody is worried about the Sabres in net. Nobody's worried about it. But my point every year is how much the position fluctuates. And it's really why you don't, in their defense, it's why you don't go and make a splashier goalie move, because it can easily bust on you, as it has for them at other times. So I think right now no one's worried about who they are in net with Luukkonen and then Levi. Now also, by the way, James Reimer. But I think that's the order. And wouldn't that be something if that's what gets them beat? That Luukkonen not turns into a pumpkin, but just is a goalie, and that means there are going to be spikes and valleys in his year-to-year performance. Let's go to James here. Hi, James.
Hey, how's it going, Mike?
Good. Thanks for being on.
Hey, thanks a lot for everything you guys do here. I love listening to your show.
Thanks.
Hey, so what I'm getting at here is I don't understand how we could just keep going over and over every year, just the same lineup. Like, yeah, we switch out the bottom six forwards, but we get rid of Mittelstadt, top six forward. If we move up Paterka or Quinn or whoever, then that second line becomes weaker as well. So it's like, yeah, you can move someone up, but then you're going to trust Savoy or Kulik.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
With the second line spot, or if you move Benson up, you're still missing a piece there. Like, I just don't understand their thought process.
Well, that's really right with what I've been saying, and that's why I think the question is, do you think they're good? Do you think they think they're good? Or I think the other side of that question is, there's no way they could. Like that, and for me, that's really close, because I think there is the possibility, James, that Adams and the Sabres do think, with how young some of these guys are, to varying degrees of experience, including Paterka and, of course, Quinn, that they might. But that's a tough sell. You bring Ruff back, you buy out Skinner, and apart from swapping out your fourth line and Jason Zucker, you're mostly saying that, you know, you've made some important progress. They didn't just miss last year. You know, like that was a bad season. And that's really why I think this is the right question. Like, it really comes maybe back to, like I said earlier, just sort of what your thoughts on Adams are, you know, what you think of his ability to build a roster. Because if you don't think much of him, you probably think, like, yeah, he probably does think Jason Zucker can be Jeff Skinner or better. And I just can't really believe that. I think Skinner has always had this stigma about him, whether it's the room, whether it's the style of play. I mean, you know, we've been through it for years with that. And he's been very productive, and I don't know that all of that is necessarily deserved. But you've got Ruff here, who is going to be pretty strict. And it came as no surprise to most, or to me, that the Sabres moved on from Skinner. It's like Diggs. I mean, it cost them a pretty good penalty to do it, and a lot of money to just not have him on the team. So you know they mean it when they make a move like that. Thank you, James. 803-0550. Do you think Adams really feels like he's all set? Because if it's not the case, if you don't think that, then it comes down to, and it has been this way for the last week, is can he make the move he wants to make? It's one thing to feel like you've got to do something, but it's quite another to actually do it. And I end up there with him after the weekend and recent years. I end up there with him. I'm not really interested in hearing about trying to make trades, because I already gave you that. Like, I would give every GM that. I think that's what they're all trying to do. I mean, to varying degrees. Like, it's not everybody's hell-bent. Some guys are more active than others, but, you know, here has just been such a relatively obvious kind of moment and situation. Is it that he doesn't want to, or is it that he can't? So far. 803-0550 for your calls. Hope to hear from more of you. I want to do some other things today, not just, you know, Sabercosis. There, I'll make that up. Mike Giardi will join me to talk some NFL. Paul will be on. I watched this U.S.-Uruguay soccer match last night, and I've got some thoughts on that and the officials, or one of the referee, anyway. Want to look at the Bills' schedule as well. And, I mean, oh, it's first week of July, vacation, summer. I'm always here for some fantasy talk. Drafted a beauty last night, by the way. I'm just going to tell you now. I drafted a beauty over there at underdogfantasy.com. Oh, baby. I'm sure you'll want to know all about it. 803-0550, once again, is the number. Thanks for listening. Lines are open for you. Let's talk Sabres. What do you think? Where do you think they're at? Are they done? Are you done? All of that coming up here on WGR.
Yeah, I mean, I won't do it. It's not like the offseason stops, you know. There's ongoing conversations. Plus, you know, the dust settles a little bit and you see where different teams are. But I really like where our group's at right now. I like it a lot. I like the look of our team. We had goals coming into this offseason, what we were trying to achieve. And then I think we're a much better team today than we were a couple days ago.
Kevin Adams, that's a tough one for me. Much better. Really, I mean, you can like, and I guess I do, not players I spent a lot of time thinking about, but Sam Lafferty, etc. You can like those moves and consider them, you know, valuable and important, but like, it's maybe a little bit about Skinner. It's mostly about, for me, just like the fact that you still have this apparent hole up top on your roster, and that could tell me that you're better, but it's not, doesn't look that much better to me. Does he, like I'm asking today, not, I'm not saying he doesn't mean that, but does he, is he fine if they're done? Not because they have to be done, because no one will entertain his offers, but really that, you know what? Because you can talk yourself, fans are going to do it. You can talk yourself into, well, if this guy does this, and, you know, we do that kind of every year a little bit. And I think, you know, the team can do that. But I think most analysts, I mean, I think this is Travis. I think this is Paul. I think, you know, this was Chad yesterday. And that's only a short list. But people that pay very, very close attention to the Sabres and the league kind of are miffed. I think that that's maybe a fair word for it. Maybe there's a worse word for it. Miffed. 803-0550. I mentioned before, like, looking for your thoughts on them and this and some different things, that soccer game. I want to mention again, because this is always cool, if I need to even say it, but the Bills offense. Just got done reading some of Scott Barrett's article at Fantasy Points. Scott was on the show a few weeks ago. This guy does some deep dive stuff with the numbers and also with the press conferences. He, first thing I ever knew about Scott, he was on the show once talking about how he listened to every post-draft press conference. And like, that's a pretty good lift there. So he was talking about, you know, each team that has a new play caller. He wrote a long article on that. And maybe he went by division or alphabetical, whatever he did. And the Bills were first up. And his, you know, points about Brady, you've heard them all before, shifting into a more run-heavy offense last year, and what that meant for Allen as a runner, because as something, this is something we talked about all the time last summer, from a Brandon Bean comment and just kind of how these things go, would the Bills want Allen to run less last year? And the season got going, and they did, and he did, and he was sliding and just... the designed rushing attempts were not there for him. And just reading Scott, kind of the way he put that is how under Dorsey, the plan was to save Allen, you know, relatively speaking, to the second half. And that's what they did, only Dorsey was not around to enjoy the benefits. Like, if you turn that around, not even just like the whole, the way they ran the ball more in neutral situations at all, but if you turned Allen's rushing up in the first half, and, you know, not, you don't even have to turn it down in the second, but you went, the Bills went into last year with a restrictor plate on him, and they thought it's more important to them to have him healthy and fresher later in the season. You take that off, and he's running 8-9 times a game in the first half of the season. Maybe Dorsey lasts. That might be like one particular area where he could end up being the most bitter, is you took my best play away, right? I mean, Allen to Diggs was never the Bills' best play. It might have been second, but Allen running is their best play. Automatic and short yardage. Saves them once a drive on 3rd and 7. You know, just like, you're not going to let me you're not going to give me that? Or maybe Dorsey, you know, was fine with it, but you're going to take that away from our blueprint here so that we have a better chance later in the season. If I'm Dorsey, I'm like, fine, that's good, but I better be here. I better be here to be able to implement that and enjoy that. And, you know, got paid anyway, I guess, but he wasn't. Also, Scott Barrett mentioned Kincaid in this, and Kincaid is just such a tennis match for me in my head about what he's going to do. How he's going to do, but how much he's going to do for the Bills offense. And Scott was negative toward Kincaid in terms of production because of Knox and because of his like fantasy draft position. I mean, Kincaid goes 3rd, 4th round in you know, most drafts, best ball drafts, not even tight end premium drafts. And so he's easily the Bills' most expensive pass catcher, non-quarterback, except for Cook. I mean, that's right around the same range, I think. I would have to look that where Cook goes. But Kincaid is sort of a hot ticket, and Scott Barrett was just writing, like, I don't get it. Because if Knox gets hurt, fine, but it really is. I've said it all spring. Just I'm baffled by what the Bills' offense is going to look like. And I wonder on the Allen piece itself what last year's takeaway is. Hold him back again? Second half, he went off. Touchdowns, design runs, yards, everything. Is that maybe like a horse? You know, the best horse doesn't go right to the front often in horse racing. You just want to sort of slow play it. And I talk like I think their run-pass stuff will be much like last year because it worked. Because they won games, must-win games down the stretch, into the playoffs. I would think that same coordinator, I would think that they go into this year that kind of that way. But I don't know if the Allen piece is the same as it was last year itself. Like, we'll just sort of save him a little bit. 1 year older, did that work? I mean, I don't know if there were specific games, maybe London or New England, where they might look at that and think, if we had let him, if you will, run the ball more, we would have, you know, had a couple more wins or something. I wonder if what they would say to that, given last year. The details on those games right now are not fresh enough in my mind to, like, to be able to say, but could be interesting. 803-0550 for your calls. I'm Mike Shope. Bulldog is off this week. I'll be off on the 4th, but it sounds like back with you on Friday. Mike Giardi, Paul Hamilton coming up today. So, beautiful summer day. This had been planned for a while. My family and, let's see, my wife has family in Florida that are up visiting. And, we're, you know, months ago, what are we going to do with them when they visit? What are the things? You know, you have this happen where you have friends in from out of town or family, and you have like 4 or 5 days or a week. And you think about, well, what are the things? What do they want to do? What are the things you would like to show them? And I'm so glad I thought of this idea, because sometimes, like, there's a thing that when you hear about it, you hear someone else talk about it, you're like, oh, I keep forgetting to sort of think of that when we're trying to find sort of a new activity or a new outing like this. The Whirlpool jet boat. So my wife and I have done this a couple of times, and it was that thing to us. Like, you know, going to Lewiston or going out, just want, somebody will mention that, like, oh, that's right, we talked about doing this and just sort of never made the plan. I think a lot of people, I don't really know, like, I didn't talk to anybody there, but I'm just sort of feeling like maybe a lot of people just sort of walk in and see if there are spots on the boat. The boat that we were on today was pretty full, so I was lucky. I was glad that I had a reservation. I think on a list of activities in Western New York in the summer, it would be my number one. I just love that ride. I'm also, I mean, you're just sitting on a boat going up into the rapids. It's not nothing. It's fun. I am not a thrill seeker. And I like that I have, when it's the water, though, I'm into it. And I like that I have this one activity, this one treat that makes me feel like I am, you know, makes me feel like just sort of confident and good. I love going on that ride. And, you know, it's cool. You get completely soaked, and it's fast, and there's spins, and you're into the rapids, and, like, it's just kind of amazing. So that's what I did today. I am fresh off the jet boat coming in, and I'm sticky, and I've got, like, the been-in-the-river hair going today. Should have probably showered after instead of before. Oh, well, maybe both, but didn't really have time, so I was thinking about that ride, and I want to mention it. They're not a sponsor or anything as far as I know, but I want to mention it for anybody who's sort of looking for something to do on a beautiful day like today. I would recommend that 100%. 803-0550 for your calls. Bills, Allen, Kincaid, Sabres, Kevin Adams, the moves, and the move we're all kind of still waiting on. Zemgus Girgensons signs with Tampa, which also gets him into everybody's joke, which former Sabre will win the cup next year, ha ha ha. And what a career for, I mean, I don't mean this in like, he's McDavid, but kind of what a career, right? All these years with the Sabres, no playoff appearances. Now he's off to the Lightning where he might be the next guy. Or it could be Skinner with the Oilers, or it could be Mittelstadt with the Avs. There's got to be somebody on Utah probably that, will they get to the finals or the second round before the Sabres do? I don't know. I don't mean to be like this, even though I know a lot of you are right now. Give me a call if you like. I've got Mike Giardi coming up at the top of the hour. This is Mike Schoep on WGR. Heard a promo there, at least those of you listening not online but over the air, if not also online, for Brett Boone and his podcast. If you don't know, he's on with us the first Wednesday of every month, which means tomorrow. I'll have a chance again to chat with the longtime major leaguer, former All-Star, Brett Boone. For some reason, I never think to use him in Immaculate Grid. I know exactly what you were wondering about. How often are you using Brett Boone in Immaculate Grid? I still love it. It's one of these where the pop-up video ads are just making me insane. And, you know, I don't love complaining about that because it's a free site. It's a free game that I'm using almost every day. So who can blame the site really for that? But like every 15 or so seconds, another ad pops up and I cannot just let them play. Are there two kinds of people? The kinds that will just, you open whatever website and 2-3 ads start popping up all over and you just ignore it? Can you ignore it? I cannot. I have to close them immediately or I cannot proceed. And if I feel like all I'm doing is closing the ads, then I'm just going to have to leave the site. I'm sorry. I don't need to know this information that badly. That's how it is for me. I don't know. What's better?
I don't know how people can't ignore the ads. You can't. They pop up everywhere. And then if you've been talking and they come up correctly, the way you're talking about, you get uncomfortable. I'm with you. I got to leave the site for at least 20 minutes. Then I'll come back. I'm never going to leave completely.
Well, yep, I can't deal with it. So, like Immaculate Grid, but I'm having days where, again with the Charmin, again, didn't you just try to sell me some toilet paper? We're going to come back to that. All right. My family went to the Bisons game last night. The Bisons beat Rochester, and there were dogs there. They had like a dog park set up in right field. I was wrong. I thought our dog Margo would be going to the game. She did not go. When I got home, I was shocked to see Margo. I thought you were going to the baseball game, Margo. She said nothing. But it was decided that she probably just wasn't ready for that. I asked my family, how was the game? It's like the Bisons won. And my wife and my sister-in-law were talking. And my sister-in-law said there were lots of foul balls. Like, oh, those are fun. Foul balls are fun. You want to, you know, have a shot at it. Have a shot at one. And then my wife said, there are also lots of errors. And I thought, you know, errors are fun at a ball game. They make it interesting. Everybody makes every play. You don't really need that. You want a couple of mishaps. She's like, one ball went right through the guy's legs. Like, you know, all right. It's relatable. I think you want, what do you want from defense in a perfect baseball game? Do you want just can there be an error in a perfect baseball game? Can there be a bad throw or a, you know, a ball through someone's legs? Or does it have to be every play gets made? I mean, a great game might include a great running catch or a diving play by the third baseman and throwing him out from third. A play at the plate, you know, a great throw from the outfield, anything like that. You want a little bit of that kind of action in a ball game. But that was the report from last night with the Bisons. The Bisons won, and there were foul balls and errors and dogs. And, I mean, it sounds like a great, absolute great time. I'm not kidding. The Sabres schedule is out. There's still some, you know, movement happening around the league, of course. You know, we're still waiting for all the things I'm talking about all day here with you. Jeff Skinner signs with Edmonton, and there was a report that the Leafs offered him a spot to play with Matthews and Marner, but he chose the Oilers. And, you know, fans are already prepared for this, but just brace yourself for Skinner to be all over your TV and, you know, your scoring leaders next year. If he's going to play with McDavid, or he's going to, you know, he chose to play with the Oilers instead of Austin Matthews, he has value. And I think there, I brought this up earlier, there is kind of a Diggs parallel, because the pressure is on the Sabres to get more from their forwards than they were getting with Skinner in the group. And I know the type of player he is, you know, he's a certain type of player. And the Sabres decided they're going to get enough goals without him. And we'll see if they're right, but they need to be right. They need to be, because they didn't have to do that. They could have kept him and made that work. But choosing to eat, I mean, there's cap savings this way, but there's also the penalty, and then in years there'll be greater ones. Choosing to take that on makes it all the more imperative that you get better, because that's not a move you have to make. And that is similar to what the Bills and Diggs is, that situation. If you want to trade him because you just can't deal anymore and you're willing to eat $30 million dead cap penalty to do it, okay, but it needs to work. Because you didn't need to trade Diggs and you didn't need to buy out Skinner, but the teams chose to do it. So Skinner goes to Edmonton, where we'll probably see him on morning highlights all the time. I say morning because, you know, they play later. Arnold is next. Hello, Arnold.
Hey, Shelf. How are you doing?
Okay.
Great show. Love the show. And one of the things I really like about the show is it's cerebral to me. And what I really like is the way that you sort of delve into what I would consider probability and statistics. And there's not a holistic comment about the Sabres. I've actually never called about the Sabres before. I come as a Bills fan who become a Sabres fan through this WGR, as a matter of fact, from listening to you guys.
Cool.
My question is specifically for you, and I'd like to understand your thought process behind it, is I understand for the draft, for the safe Bills, and then in most cases, hey, this idea that, hey, it's a crapshoot who you pick in a draft. So I should just increase my odds of success by just drafting more people. Therefore, trade back in the round of drafts and get more drafts.
Right.
But I did want to ask you specifically why you thought that was the case for this draft. And the reason I asked you about this draft, I looked at it and said, oh, man, the Sabres can't trade because no trade clauses. People don't want to come here. They can't get free agents. And they have all this pipeline of talent. I would almost see it the opposite. In this particular situation, I would have traded everything I could to get higher in the draft, as opposed to going back in the draft, because now I'm stockpiling picks I can't even use and can't even trade. So I guess I just wanted to understand your thought process there. Did you think they could trade all of those picks, which might be the case?
Not all, but they did trade 43. What did they add? 40? They added 42, you know, same difference, and traded for a three for a player they thought was valuable. And, you know, you probably wouldn't mind that, right?
That's true. I think it's a
binding principle. I mean, I hear exceptions made for quarterbacks, and the Bills, you know, struck gold trading up twice for a quarterback. I mean, that's not something in a vacuum I would ever want a team to do, but that can, if the player's great, the player's great. So I just think it really is a binding thing that there isn't such a thing as having too many prospects, especially when you're on a playoff drought. The idea that the player they were going to get at 14 can be the same player they would have picked at 11, that's correct. I mean, that kind of proved, by consensus rankings, that kind of proved correct this year with Hellenius, who was sometimes graded higher than that. So I would, trading up big like you're describing scares me, and I appreciate that you've heard me say that a lot, because I appreciate it anytime anybody hears something that I feel strongly about and has it correct, you know, that my opinion of it correct. So I don't think the Sabres really needed to be an exception to that. If they had traded 11 or 14 for a credible, good NHL player, then we would have liked that too, maybe more. But I don't need to trade up to 7 or 5 in the draft. I mean, to me, There's no reason to do that, almost ever. Thank you, Arnold. I really appreciate what you said and your question. Mike Giardi, Boston Sports Journal, on the Pats, maybe even some Bruins, as well. Coming up after sports, this is Mike Shope on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Then I'm just going to have to leave the site. I'm sorry. I don't need to know this information that badly. That's how it is for me. I don't know. What's better?
I don't know how people can ignore the ads. You can't. They pop up everywhere. And then if you've been talking and they come up correctly the way you're talking about, you get uncomfortable. I'm with you. I got to leave the site for at least 20 minutes. Then I'll come back. I'm never going to leave completely.
Well, yep. I can't deal with it. So, like Immaculate Grid, but I'm having days where, again with the Charmin, again, didn't you just try to sell me some toilet paper? We're going to come back to that. All right. My family went to the Bisons game last night. The Bisons beat Rochester, and there were dogs there. They had like a dog park set up in right field. I was wrong. I thought our dog Margo would be going to the game. She did not go. When I got home, I was shocked to see Margo. I thought you were going to the baseball game, Margo. She said nothing, but it was decided that she probably just wasn't ready for that. I asked my family, how was the game? He's like, the Bisons won. And my wife and my sister-in-law were talking, and my sister-in-law said there were lots of foul balls. I'm like, oh, those are fun. Foul balls are fun. You want to, you know, have a shot at it. Have a shot at one. And then my wife said there were also lots of errors. And I thought, you know, errors are fun at a ball game. They make it interesting. Everybody makes every play. You don't really need that. You want a couple of mishaps. She's like, one ball went right through the guy's legs. Like, you know, all right. It's relatable. I think you want, what do you want from defense in a perfect baseball game? Do you want just, can there be an error in a perfect baseball game? Can there be a bad throw or a, you know, a ball through someone's legs? Or does it have to be every play gets made? I mean, a great game might include a great running catch or a diving play by the third baseman and throwing him out from third. a play at the plate, you know, a great throw from the outfield, anything like that. You want a little bit of that, that kind of action in a ball game. But that was the report from last night with the Bisons. The Bisons won, and there were foul balls and errors and dogs. And, I mean, it sounds like a great, absolute great time. I'm not kidding. The Sabres schedule is out. There's still some, you know, movement happening around the league, of course. You know, we're still waiting for all the things I'm talking about all day here with you. Jeff Skinner signs with Edmonton, and there was a report that the Leafs offered him a spot to play with Matthews and Marner, but he chose the Oilers. And, you know, fans are already prepared for this, but just brace yourself for Skinner to be all over your TV and, you know, your scoring leaders next year. If he's going to play with McDavid, or he's going to, you know, he chose to play with the Oilers instead of Austin Matthews, he has value. And I think there, I brought this up earlier, there is kind of a Diggs parallel, because the pressure is on the Sabres to get more from their forwards than they were getting with Skinner in the group. And I know the type of player he is, you know, he's a certain type of player. And the Sabres decided they're going to get enough goals without him. And we'll see if they're right, but they need to be right. They need to be, because they didn't have to do that. They could have kept him and made that work. But choosing to eat, I mean, there's cap savings this way, but there's also the penalty, and then in years there'll be greater ones. Choosing to take that on makes it all the more imperative that you get better, because that's not a move you have to make. And that is similar to what the Bills and Diggs is, that situation. If you want to trade him because you just can't deal anymore and you're willing to eat $30 million dead cap penalty to do it, okay, but it needs to work. Because you didn't need to trade Diggs and you didn't need to buy out Skinner, but the teams chose to do it. So Skinner goes to Edmonton, where we'll probably see him on morning highlights all the time. I say morning because, you know, they play later. Arnold is next. Hello, Arnold.
Hey, Shelf, how are you doing?
Okay.
Great show. Love the show. And one of the things I really like about the show is it's cerebral to me. And what I really like is the way that you sort of delve into what I would consider probability and statistics. And there's not a holistic comment about the Sabres. I've actually never called about the Sabres before. I come as a Bills fan who become a Sabres fan through this WGR, as a matter of fact, from listening to you guys.
Cool.
My question is specifically for you, and I'd like to understand your thought process behind it, is I understand for the draft, for the safe Bills, and then in most cases, hey, this idea that, hey, it's a crapshoot who you pick in a draft. So I should just increase my odds of success by just drafting more people. Therefore, trade back in the round of drafts and get more drafts.
Right.
But I did want to ask you specifically why you thought that was the case for this draft. And the reason I asked you about this draft, I looked at it and said, oh, man, the Sabres can't trade because no trade clauses. People don't want to come here. They can't get free agents. And they have all this pipeline of talent. I would almost see it the opposite. In this particular situation, I would have traded everything I could to get higher in the draft as opposed to going back in the draft, because now I'm stockpiling picks I can't even use and can't even trade. So I guess I just wanted to understand your thought process there. Did you think they could trade all of those picks, which might be the case?
Not all, but they did trade 43. What did they add? That's 40? True. They added 42, you know, same difference, and traded for a 3 for a player they thought was valuable. And, you know, you probably wouldn't mind that, right?
That's true. I think it's a
binding principle. I mean, I hear exceptions made for quarterbacks, and the Bills, you know, struck gold trading up twice for a quarterback. I mean, that's not something in a vacuum I would ever want a team to do, but that can, if the player's great, the player's great. So I just think it really is a binding thing that there isn't such a thing as having too many prospects, especially when you're on a playoff drought. The idea that the player they were going to get at 14 can be the same player they would have picked at 11, that's correct. I mean, that kind of proved, by consensus rankings, that kind of proved correct this year with Hellenius, who was sometimes graded higher than that. So I would, trading up big like you're describing scares me, and I appreciate that you've heard me say that a lot, because I I appreciate it anytime anybody hears something that I feel strongly about and has it correct. You know, that my opinion of it correct. So I don't think the Sabres really needed to be an exception to that. If they had traded 11 or 14 for a credible, good NHL player, then we would have liked that too, maybe more. But I don't need to trade up to 7 or 5 in the draft. I mean, to me, there's no reason to do that, almost ever. Thank you, Arnold. I really appreciate what you said and your question. Mike Giardi, Boston Sports Journal on the Pats, maybe even some Bruins as well. Coming up after sports, this is Mike Shope on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.